You all right? My name's Paul, I've got autism, and I make random videos based on my version of autism and the way my head works, and I stick the videos on the internet just in case you fancy giving them a watch. And I hope you're doing all right. I'm surprised I've remembered that, because I've not done a video for a long time over on YouTube. I last did one in August 2023, I recorded one. Then I did that live one in December. And now there's this. And the genuine answer as to why I've not been around is because of my kryptonite, health anxieties. Severe health anxieties have raised their head again. And if my voice sounds a little different, it's because these health anxieties are in my neck this time around. But I've had health anxieties since August with an issue that kind of settled, thankfully, by itself. And I had a couple of good weeks in November. Then I got COVID. Then once that had cleared, I went and had a tooth removed. And the fear of it caused me a physical reaction where my jaw wouldn't close and my tongue was twice as big for my mouth. And when that finally settled, I ended up with this very strange issue with a funny smell under my armpits. And you know, long story short, I've got an appointment coming up in the next couple of weeks to go and see a head and neck specialist because I've got an issue on the left side of my neck to do with glands and lymph nodes. I've had all my bloods done. They were all fine. I've got to follow this path now. And because I have severe health anxieties, I'm just assuming it's the worst of the worst things. But they also said it could be long COVID. This, you know, you do get raised glands and it does mess with your lymph nodes. So hopefully by the time the appointment comes around in the next couple of weeks, hopefully some of this might have just gone by itself. But like I say, if my voice is a little bit hoarse or a little bit different, it's because the issue is in my neck and it's affecting my vocal cords as well. Anyway, that's why I'm not around much. So I do appreciate the concern in the emails to say, hope you're all right. But I can't do anything when my head's firmly up my backside. Patreon, I did say on the live video that I was looking to open up a community on there, and I did. So, you know, people are on there, can talk amongst themselves now, which is good. If it ever gets too big, I'll open up smaller rooms as well so it can stay, you know, interactive, I guess is the right word. And if I do get to come back, which is touch wood, it's all I want to do, I'll put YouTube videos probably on there as well. So they're ad-free because obviously there's adverts on YouTube. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I would love to give up my day job and do things like this full time. Who wouldn't? And I'm trying to find ways of getting there. That's the absolute truth between me and you and anyone else who wants to know it. Nothing wrong with being truthful, is there? So, yeah, the link for Patreon is always in the description. If you ever fancy just going over and having a nosy, there's absolutely no obligation to sign up at all. Don't worry about it. And as for the interviews, I did talk about doing interviews. I still want to do them, but again, I've got to wait for seeing what happens in relation to health anxieties. And if I get the all clear and I've just got weird body reactions, then yes, I will be getting in touch with people to get them booked in. Anyway, so when I feel rubbish, it takes a lot for me to press record because it's hard to talk at the minute and to maintain focus looking at the camera. And I'm out of practice because I've not done it for so long. But every now and again, there's a topic in an email or something that raises its head and it makes me want to talk about it. And a while ago, someone reached out and asked me if I would do a video about the denial of autism. And in the email, it was talking about, in fact, I've actually got it. Can I make a video about the denial process and how life-shattering it may be? You know, and there's a bit more on there as well. And it took me a while to try and digest that because what I wasn't thinking when I was diagnosed with autism is how I would really feel, how I would really react. Because when I was diagnosed and I was telling people, it was like, no way, guess what? You know, even I didn't get it. I wasn't, you know, fully grasping what this difference was. Whereas I sit here today, before you're talking to you now, I know. And I've gone through so many stages. None of the stages people talk about, you know, they're on about denial and then euphoria and this, that. No, I've gone through different stages where I was like, all right, now what? That was the main one at the beginning. I went through a stage where every time I saw an Instagram post or a video with people talking about traumas, I'd think, come on, not everyone can have all of these traumas that they talk about. But I seriously underestimated what the word trauma meant. You know, that was my fault, not the people with the traumas, because I've been trying to figure mine out and they're endless, absolutely endless when you put them down in that category, you know? So I also went through a bit of a stage, and I've got to admit, it's still there, and it's a bit of a resentment, not towards autism, but towards those who I have to mask around, you know? Like, I have to, masking is born from trauma, because, and it's not just autistic people who mask, but autistic people mask a lot, you know? You're rarely going to come across an autistic person who's like me, who is not masking. That I don't like to generalize. I don't like to use other examples outside of me, but yes, that's true. But it comes from a trauma. It comes from being picked on, bullied, not fitting in. You might have quite an aggressive family and you're not an aggressive person, but you then act loud because it's like, well, this stops them looking at me, you know? People will just be what they need to be to get through their day. And that's me masking. You know, masking is a reaction to trauma. Because when I was younger, you know, and I got bullied, I remember watching other people and I used to think, Matthew's not getting bullied. James isn't getting bullied. Michael's not getting bullied, but they're also not part of these kids who are bullying me. So how do they just slip under the radar? They're still doing their own thing, inventing wrestling moves. Still remember the Boston roll, you know, and I stole parts of them kids to act like, to not be then seen on the radar by the bullies. And it worked. So then when you find it works, it's like, oh, okay, well, all I've got to do is hide myself behind this mask. And I'll be safe. I'll be all right. I can get home again. But what happens is when you get older and you've used 4,000 people to stitch together this mask from people you've met all your life from everywhere you've ever been, it's hard to know where that mask starts or ends and the real you starts. And that's what the process then begins, to try and unstitch that mask to figure out autism and you and who you are. So when I first was diagnosed and I was telling people, I didn't have them thoughts. I was just telling people because it was new and it was different. And it was like, who knew? It's a different thing now. So that email then made sense. You know, a video that people can show to family and friends and say, this is what you need to understand. This is what the world is like behind my eyes. Because, and I'll try and begin, when I've thought about it, like I could give you example after example, but you know, when I was, like, for a bad example, for how it feels to give the news to somebody that you're autistic, I told someone, and I might have even mentioned this in the telling people you're autistic video, when I told them, they were like, where did that come from? And I told them, you know, the process, I went to the GP, I ended up paying for a private consultation because I needed to know ASAP. You know, and the longer the short of the story was, this person said, oh, so you paid for an autism diagnosis. So they were saying that I paid to be determined as autistic. At the time, I laughed it off and put it down to stupidity. Now, that answer annoys me. Because could you imagine going to a health professional going, oh yeah, I want to be diagnosed with bipolar, I want paranoid schizophrenia, I want OCD, ADHD and autism, please. Here's £1,000. And they go, no problem, sir, da-da-da-da-da, there you go. It doesn't work that way. So that response was a crap response. But I'll give you a good example. And it's a little bit different, but not. So bear with me. A couple of weeks ago, I was working in a mental health building. And the mental health service was for autistic people. Now, whenever I work anywhere to do with autism, I always say to the person, as one of the first things that comes out of my mouth, just to let you know, I'm also autistic. And I say it for a countless number of reasons, but again, the too long didn't read version of them is I don't want them to say something that can be perceived as rude or disrespectful about any of the clients that are there, about the service in general, about autism in general, because I will take it to heart. And don't get me wrong, I can mock and joke with the best of them, but if they're providing a service, I don't want them to say something bad. So I always sort of just do it to use as the catch-all to say, shush, just in case. But I told her and she was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So we carried on. We did the work. We're making friends, you know. And by the end of it, and I said, have you got any questions? Meaning about what the work we've just done. And she goes, yeah, I do actually. Can I just run a few things by you about some of the residents and some of the behaviours? It'd be really interesting to get an autistic person's perspective. And I said, yeah, of course you can. I'll stay all day and answer those sorts of questions. So she ran through about three people and different things they do, different reactions they do, different ways of, and she was, and I gave responses in ways to try and mitigate these flare-ups and meltdowns and trigger points and issues. And she was writing my answers down, like tentatively listening, going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she'd never tried anything I'd said, but she was really interested in listening to what I said. And what was nice is I was driving home, and I thought about it and I was like, that's kind of one of the first times in real life that someone has talked to me about autism as if I've got something to offer, you know, in my day-to-day life. Instead of seeing it as broken, damaged, a disability, something that's wrong, not on the same par, not on the same level as everybody else, which is usually how I'm made to feel. You know, if I go somewhere with someone and they find out I'm autistic, they don't talk to me anymore. They just talk to the other person, even if I'm there, about me. Like all of a sudden, I've lost the capacity to listen and respond coherently, you know? So it felt really good. And obviously, I just told her I was autistic. I wasn't telling her for the first time, which is what the email ultimately refers to about the serious nature. What I'm saying is the response matters. So again, I'll try again to do this. You've got to wonder why a late diagnosed autistic person is diagnosed. They're not sat there on a Saturday morning a bit bored and think, Monday morning, I'm going to go and book myself in and see about if I've got autism or not. Why not? I've got a day off. No one's doing that. You know, so to bring back the word trauma, you tend to find a lot of people go through a doctor's door or end up on a psychologist's chaise lounge because of trauma. And usually that's the response from the trauma is they can't do it by themselves anymore. Something has hit a wall. Something has hit rock bottom. Something has reached a point of no more patience. And you don't know what to do. That's what happened with me. I didn't know what to do anymore. And they end up in these places. You know, and I mean, I've told you my story countless times, but, you know, again, the too long didn't read version of it is me and my boss were at loggerheads. He couldn't figure out the difference between can't and won't, you know, and my can't is, Paul, do us a favor, go and walk on the sun. I can't, you know, it's impossible. But my won't is I can do it. I'm just choosing a better option. You know, so I can still make the choice, whereas cannot means rule it out. There is no chance on this earth I can do that because it can and does and will absolutely disrupt everything and there's only a negative outcome. So people find themselves lost. People can find themselves through that door at the doctor's because they've gone through a divorce. They have lost a house. They have separated from a partner and they can't see their children anymore. They have lost all their routine. They have lost all their comfort, their safe space, the things they didn't know they needed or were actually using as that reference because they didn't know they were autistic. They didn't know that those things are beneficial. And now the loss of it is also contributing to why they're through that door. Sat in front of a doctor and the doctor says, "How can I help?" And you look at them and go, "I don't know." Which is why people come away with depression tablets and other such things. But every now and again, a doctor who might have a bit of a clue about mental health services might look at that person, ask them a range of questions and say, "Have you ever considered you might be autistic?" And that's how the process can start. So again, no one's walking through that doctor's door when you're later in life just going, "Meh, I've just always been curious. My life's perfect. Everything's great. Got great relationship with everyone. Just wondered." And if there is any of those people, then they're as rare as rocking horse poo. You know, that's just not common. So there is trauma. There are defense mechanisms built in that no longer work. There are fractured relationships around these people. There is loss around these people. That's what gets them through a door because they can't do it by themselves anymore. You know, that was me, lost, confused, not understanding why people can't understand absolute truth and process and logic because their life is shrouded with lie and tangents. Politics, things that are just pointless. Let's just get it done. But yet I'm the one to be made out like I'm the weirdo. No, don't work that way. So what I'm saying is please try and understand why people who were later diagnosed, there isn't always this nicety of just satisfying a curiosity of why they've walked through a door. Not at all. There's usually a reason they've gone through that door and it's because they've got nowhere else to go with any other mindset to consider. So the problem with that is, let's say this person, whatever they've got going on, however their life is and whatever they're doing, the chances are they already mask. And as I've said, masking is to protect them from more trauma, it's to protect them from bad things happening. It's to allow, like my mask is to leave the house, do my day, get home again, get in pajamas and forget the outside exists. And that is there because before it was there, I was more me. And I'd get the response of, "You're a bit weird, aren't you?" I'd be like, "Yeah." You know, and people wouldn't trust in me. They'd see me as a bit more silly. They'd see me as the guy who's good for a joke, but not good for the serious conversations. Whereas the real me is more for the serious conversations and not so much for the joke. But I built a life around telling jokes for a small section of it. Wasn't me. So imagine this person traumatized. Imagine this person who has been living behind a mask, giving you a version of them that they think you want to see because it's easier for them and it's easier for you. You know, we don't mask for us. We mask because we have to mask. And I know you might watch it go, "Oh, shut up. You're just being negative and making stuff up." I'm not. There is not a single autistic person masking right now because they just fancy it. It's born from things they've needed to do to protect themselves, to give themselves an easier run, to make sure they can get from point A to point B and back again with the least amount of fuss. It's not to deceive you in a negative way where it's classed as genuine deception, where you're going to lose something. We lose something by masking, which is why you don't see us. You don't see me on a weekend because I'm recharging, because it costs its coins that I've talked about 1,000 times, because I don't use spoons as a reference because it's got no sense to me whatsoever. I don't need spoons. So just think of that person. Trauma, stress, been broken, bad things happened in life, might have bad people around them, poor environment. And some of them might well have been their choice to do, you know, but then some of them might not be. Some people prey on weakness that it can be perceived as, or vulnerability. Some people end up in relationships and consistently end up in bad relationships because they choose the wrong person each and every time. And my response is, stop picking anyone until you figure it out. That breaks the cycle. But I don't want to be alone. It's better to be alone than with the wrong person. So all I'm saying is give this person who wants to sit you down and say, I just need to, you know, lend me your ears for 5 minutes while I talk to you about something serious. And you all sit down. It could be friends, could be family, could be partners, could be work. And they say, I've been for an autism diagnosis and it turns out I'm actually autistic. Don't respond with things like, oh, don't be stupid. No, you're not autistic. I think I'd know if you're autistic. Oh, sorry, I didn't realise you were a trained expert, you know? You're not, but I think I know my son. You don't, because of mask. You know, it's, and as much as I can understand why some people would use those reactions because they're trying to say, no, you're not, because they don't want you to have anything at all. But that mindset is if you see autism as a negativity, and I don't see mine as negative. I'm so glad I am autistic. I know not everyone feels that way, but I'm allowed to feel that way. You know, you'll get aunties, 89 years old, who sit there going, you're not autistic. No, you're not. I refuse to believe it. It's like, look, I'm not being rude, but you thought autism was a brand of mint. So, you know, no. Everyone can have their belief. You can believe what you want. Some people believe in God. Some people believe in no God. Some people believe in Muhammad. Some people believe in, can't remember the other one I was thinking of, which I've completely forgot about, the elephant one. Believe what you want. Doesn't make anyone right or wrong. But what I'm saying is, just because you don't want to believe it, it doesn't mean it's not happened. It doesn't mean it's not real. And don't just take those words at face value of, one day they were absolutely fine, then they were autistic, now they're weird, now they're different, now they're acting weird. There's so much behind being able to sit someone down and tell that you're autistic, especially if there's been a weight, especially if the people you're telling are the reason that you had to mask and you don't feel you could have pushed forward with this sooner, because there's all that keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, I think I need assessed for autism, mum. You say that when you're a younger kid and they go, don't be stupid. I'm not having my kid having autism. Because you get all sorts of weirdos saying weird things. But what I'm trying to get to is, if someone tells you they're autistic and you care about that person, just go, that's interesting. Let's have a coffee and have a chat. Someone like me would massively appreciate being able to just sit there and talk openly for the time it takes to make a coffee, cool down and drink, than to never have that conversation at all. And that's all most of us want, is to just be heard, to explain why we went down the route, to then get the diagnosis, to then what we would like to explain moving forward. You know, so if I am not as available, just know I'm not hiding from anyone. It's just I need to recharge. If I don't attend family events anymore, it's because I wasn't really getting anything out of them, and I wish everyone well, but they're not for me. I would rather be behind closed doors. And don't worry if you say you're always indoors, you should be outdoors. It's like, look, once I've recharged enough, I'll go out, but I need to recharge first. There's an element to it. You know, if people start appearing different, I promise you they're not being different. They're just being more authentic to who they are. You know, so when these, I mean, I've had emails where people are like, how on earth do I even tell my partner that as much as I love them and I love my kids, how can I not feel terrible? Because I just need some free time that's mine. And I say the same thing every time. you have to teach people that there's a massive difference between free time and recharge time. So when we need to recharge, we have to get enough recharge in us to have free time, because free time means we've got available space to do something. Recharge time means I can't do anything until I've topped up. So if you, you know, and if you explain that to people and you say what you need is to have a space, you know, even if it's a room in your house where for 2 hours on a Sunday, you are not bugged. That is your 2 hours. There's no phones. There's no knock on the, you know, if you went and locked yourself away with some candles around a bath and you read a book, whatever it is you want to do to chill out, don't knock on the bathroom door. Don't text. Don't shout. Keep the kids away. You know, I'm allowed that space because that space and time will do me wonders. If I don't get that space and time, I'm not going to be the better version of me and everything will suffer because you'll feel it. Don't ever, you know, and that's the thing. It's making sure that it's not just people hearing you're autistic. It's having them understand why you went down that path and understanding that to get to that path, you were already feeling a pressure and a stress from something. And that's what you're trying to alleviate. Being told you're autistic is just the thing that makes you then go, all right, I need to now reevaluate where I'm going and what I'm doing. Because if you don't get the right response, what ends up happening is people end up masking more and they end up resenting people and they end up completely removing themselves from those people and they never see people again. Because why would they ever go near anyone who never gave them a pinch of something? And I've said it before, when we're given the slightest part of anything, we appreciate it 100%. You know, we're not asking for the full cake. We're just asking for a, you know, a little finger smidgen of the icing. So people who are told about people being autistic, later in life diagnosed, I'll recap. Please understand that it will be the smallest of small numbers who walk through a door because they've just always been curious, but everything else is all right. The rest are there for a reason. I can say that because of my emails. People who are divorced don't get to see the kids, been in violent relationships or, you know, countless bad relationships for those types of reasons, terrible arguments with family, falling out with family, bullied by family, attacked by so-called friends. Something leads you through that door. So if we need to sit you down and tell you that we're autistic, we're not doing it because it's just a fun tick in a box thing for us. It's because it's the only time that we've ever asked to be heard and taken seriously, where we're speaking unmasked to help you understand how to understand us. And we're not asking for anything else. We're not asking for the world to change. We're not asking for everyone to come back to us on bended knee and apologize for the history of existence. It's just to say, I want to be me. And your response, the response from someone else when you hear the words, I'm autistic, coming out of a later diagnosed person's mouth, your response means the world. And will be the world. So it can be life shattering when you just get that stool kicked from under your feet and told you're not autistic or don't be stupid. So all I can do is just ask those, whoever might see this, if someone tells you, stick the kettle on, have a coffee, cup of tea, and just say, right, tell me about it. Because you learning about something might be the first time you learn something about that person for the first time properly. And it can mend a relationship. But just knocking it off, it helps nobody. But anyway, I'm going to go. And I hope that helped. Keep smiling.